couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week is a monstrous week at the box office.
Monstrous.
Monsters all over the place. Because we've got monster movies. We've got World War Z, which is a monster movie.
Zombies, yep.
We've got Monsters University.
Monsters.
Monsters. Much Ado About Nothing. There's no monsters in
no.
that. The Bling Ring. Ironically, there are kind of monsters
kind
of a different
of,
type.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, since
yes.
I always bring this up, that your husband's Canadian.
Yes.
What does he call World War Z?
He does not call it anything, although sometimes he'll throw in
care.
A Z in there just to, you know, trip me up.
See, that's what I wonder. Is it World War, do they market it as World War Z?
I have no idea. Maybe.
We should look at the international trailer of it.
I can call my family back there and ask them.
Hey, what movies are playing today? No, tell me what are they? Oh, I gotcha! Well, you know, because I had somebody say that if you say World War Z and you put the 3D after it and you run it together, it actually looks like it says Z. World War Z, only the 3 is the backwards E, which is as confusing as you can get. The movie's not confusing. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
But right now, if you want to get a hold of us, you can call us at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can also send us an email at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com for more information. And if you want to go to Facebook and like us, because we like that.
We like you.
Facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to hit us up on Twitter and yell at me for things that I say, which people do all the time, I'm twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews. You can yell at me if you want to.
Don't yell at her. She's way too nice.
Hmm.
As we talked about, we're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Before we start talking about Zeds and zombies and monsters and, pools and trinkets, Paris Hilton, dogs, all that
nice.
Kind of stuff, let's talk about the box office. Should I do a dance?
Why would you do a dance?
I don't know, because I do a dance all the time. I honestly sat there racking my brain trying to figure out
because your number ended in 7.
Yeah,
and the box office number ended in 7.
Yeah, it's actually not even 7. It's like rounded. It was like 116 point something, but it was above 5, so I rolled it up. I honestly racked my brain. I called Stephen Hawking. I could not find a way to declare victory on this one.
That is good to hear.
You were closer with 99 million.
But seriously, Man of Steel at 117 million.
Yeah.
Nobody predicted that.
Nope.
No.
What's bizarre about it is the numbers are all over the place because it opened like this weird exclusive Walmart showing.
Yeah.
Which who wants to go to that show?
Yikes.
No offense to anybody who shops at Walmart. I shop at Walmart.
I shop at Walmart.
I just get irritated a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, do they count that? And then they had midnight shows that they don't count now or 10 o'clock shows. It's
well,
so
yeah, I've seen numbers all over the place. I've seen them as high as 125, and yeah, it's all over.
It's bizarre. So
whatever the case, it's higher than we expected.
Bottom line, 117 million is at least the reported official box office.
Mm-hmm.
129 million from the beginning to the end of Sunday, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Which is huge.
It is huge.
More than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is I saw some news about it. Somebody broke it down. This guy I know at Forbes, Scott Mendelson, broke down. And he's like, well, if you take into account 3D bumps and inflation,
right.
This is kind of a standard amount that you'd expect from a big tentpole like this.
Hmm.
You know, this 100 to 120 million is almost expected now, which just blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was, 12 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, that Spider-Man became the first movie to make $100 million over a weekend?
Wow. And now it's not really a big deal anymore.
Yeah, now they're like,
it just happens.
When's the next $200 million weekend happening? But yeah, it was a huge success. A bigger success than I think anyone really predicted initially.
Yeah.
Still doing well throughout the week. It like made over $10 million on Tuesday as well.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. So that's kind of cool. And then This Is the End, very respectable, 21 million over the weekend.
Which, when you look at 117 million and number two is at 21 million, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
But This Is the End. Nobody really expected it to do huge numbers.
Nope.
It's not bad, 21 million.
And it opened on Wednesday, so it had an extra 12 million in there from Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes for a different audience. It's R-rated.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting it to really give Superman a run for its money.
No.
And you go back down. It's pretty much the same order of everything. The interesting one is Iron Man 3 just, well, now it's over over 400 million domestic. Yep. But it came in at like 399 and some change. So it really couldn't be reported it broke 400 million over the weekend. But then like the next day it did.
Like Monday morning.
Yeah. this one kid in like Peoria just buys a ticket. And they're like, wing, bing, 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 bing. That's 400
million. The balloons
million.
And the streamers fell from the sky.
That would be awesome. I wish that happened to me. So yeah, that's the box office. That's good for Man of Steel.
Yeah,
it's brought back the franchise. We'll see how Man of Steel 2 does.
Yes. Speaking of which,
there was a report this week that they were going to try and push for a 2014 release date.
I know, and that is ridiculous.
It's insane.
I'm just saying that is ridiculous.
Do you think it's even a chance of that happening?
I don't even know how that would be feasible.
They'd have to like be shooting it like at this moment,
right now.
Yeah. And they don't even know who's the villain. I think they're going to do Lex Luthor. There's the talk, but they don't even know who's going to play Lex Luthor.
No.
I think they should get, because Lex Luthor's redhead. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's originally redhead. I think they should get Carrot Top. Carrot Top would be a great Lex Luthor.
Well, I guess. You know, he's good at blowing stuff up.
I see by the look on your face you don't believe. Or Gallagher.
I could see it.
Gallagher could play like Toy Man or something like that. I want to see
Gallagher.
I want to see Terror Man as the villain. You never read the comic book, so you have no idea who he is.
I do not know.
Mm-hmm. He's a space cowboy, and he was really big in the 70s and
80s. Ooh, I'm all about space cowboys. Bring it on.
But it's so funny because he has the pimp daddy mustache, nice. And the handlebar mustache, and he shoots guns, but they're like lasers and stuff, and he's got awesome. A serape on.
Nice.
But he comes from,
Do they have cowboys in outer space? I had no idea.
I have no idea. I can't.
Is he green?
No, he looks like he walked off either a cowboy set from the 70s or a porno set.
Nice.
One of the two. But they could really darken that up, though. They can make him like a space cowboy and just, you know, really make him, you know, just a bad dude.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. I can see that.
They get like Nathan Fillion to play him.
Nice. But I still don't know it'll be made by next year.
No, I don't think so.
I think even if they tried, they'd be shooting themselves in the foot on that one.
Well,
I mean,
when Iron Man came out, mm-hmm. it did so well and it was so anticipated, and then they rushed Iron Man 2. It came out
right.
2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, aside from the fact they back-ended an Avengers S.H.I.E.L.D. origin into it,
right.
a lot of people, the consensus, at least in the critical community, was it was rushed.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be even more rushed.
And right now, 2 years is kind of become the norm for sequels. But a year is just
unless
insane.
It's like a horror movie, like Paranormal Activity. But this is Superman.
Paranormal Activity can be made in your backyard in 10 minutes.
That's
so
true.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
Superman, not so much.
Yep. A couple other news stories, just some news about development and releases. Two more Amazing Spider-Man sequels. Set for 2016 and 2018.
Yes.
That's in addition to the one they're shooting now.
Right. That's coming out next year.
Yeah.
Right.
That, again, but see, 2 years.
2 years.
We got the 2 year mark there.
Mm-hmm.
James Bond used to do 2 years back in the 70s and 80s. It was every 2 years it
right.
came out with one.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm fine with. Although they did get rid of Cheyenne Woolsey, the girl who was from The Descendants.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. She's good.
She's good.
I like her.
She's not going to be playing MJ, so. And then Jurassic Park 4, 2015.
Yes. And that was put on hold indefinitely earlier this year.
Yeah, it was this bizarre. That was a bizarre string of events.
And now it's not even official yet, is it? It's just rumors and pictures that people have seen, and nobody is really confirming anything.
Yeah. But at least that's still 2 years. You can do it from beginning to
totally.
End at this
yeah.
point. But I'm just warning you now.
Okay.
I'm warning the listeners.
Okay.
Bring a towel for summer 2015.
A towel?
You do not want to be in the Magical Studio in the Sky with me, unprotected, when I'm geeking out about... Because 2015, you got Jurassic Park 4, you got Star Wars 7.
It's true.
You've got...
It's going to be a big summer.
It's a huge summer. You got Avengers 2.
Yes.
I'm just going to go nuts.
There will be a towel.
And then also, Arnold's coming back for another Terminator movie.
Yes. At 65 years old, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to play the Terminator.
Yeah.
Does he have a walker? That's what I would like to know.
It's made of liquid metal.
Will the Terminator have a walker?
We'll find out later.
Yes.
We got to go to a break when we come back. World War Z and Monsters University. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
Let's roll right in because we got like four movies to talk
about. We have
about.
A million movies to talk about this week.
A million.
A million and a half.
We're going to be talking about World War Z. An insanely contagious zombie outbreak starts to wipe out the world, and only Brad Pitt can save us.
I'm scared.
How do we know they're coming?
They're coming. Ready?
It's the same worldwide. Is anyone doing better than we are?
We've lost the East Coast. Moscow's still dark. Life as we know it will come to an end in 90 days. It's on us to change that.
I can't leave my family.
Don't pretend your family is exempt. When we talk about the end of humanity.
You made a comment in the break.
I did.
That you liked the movies this week more than others. So I'll let you have first crack at this one.
I did. And this was kind of a surprise to me. There were a lot of things about the movies this week that I was very skeptical about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of holding out hope for this one. And I kind of dig it.
Really?
Yeah. It's not the usual zombie movie. And I think, you know, a lot of people might be expecting that, but come on. It's Brad Pitt. You're not going to get, like, a low-budget D-list zombie movie with Brad Pitt in it. You know?
And, not when he's producing it.
And that's the thing. And this is a movie now that was supposed to be released last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it feels more like a fall thriller than a summer blockbuster. This isn't, you know, a crazy superhero kind of thing. It's more of a thoughtful action movie. You know, there's more going on. There's a mystery. He's trying to piece things together. Don't make that face at me.
She can feel it coming on here.
And, yeah, I appreciate the attempt to balance things out. Because I like action movies, but I need more than just brainless action.
Okay.
So for
and they're
me,
zombies, so there has to be brains, right?
It's true. And, you know, we...
they eat brains. Geez.
I know they do.
They're delicious.
But they don't in this movie.
No, they don't eat anything.
They don't eat anything. And I know that's what you're mad about.
But Brad Pitt drinks a Pepsi.
He does. There is a Pepsi scene in this movie. But I appreciate that there's more to it than just the brainless zombie action or the brainy zombie action, whatever the case may be. You know, there's some drama in it and it's suspenseful. This is a really suspenseful movie. I mean, there were times when I found myself barely breathing.
Really?
Yes. I was holding my breath. It's kind of suspenseful.
I would be afraid you'd turn into a zombie.
I know.
That would have been interesting is to have a zombie outbreak in the theater. Maybe not. I think it would have been really dangerous.
No, I think it would have been bad. Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen fights in theaters erupt,
and there were a few. We were close to a few in this one, actually.
Really, you were up in the huddled masses. I was in a different spot.
You had your box seat. Yeah, okay.
That's right. I'm gonna have to respectfully disagree.
Okay. No, it's fine. Yeah.
It's and that's the thing is a lot of people are. It's got good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's like around. It's in the 70s on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were dreading it. A lot of people were like going, oh, this is going to suck. It's going to be terrible. And then they're like, oh, it's okay. Whereas I'm kind of the opposite. I was kind of like, I'm kind of looking forward to this. And I saw it. I'm like, So what I didn't like about it was, first of all, I'm not a big, it has to be R.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a neutered zombie movie.
It was. It's not blood and guts at all.
No.
There's very little blood in it at all.
Yeah.
And what is bloody is black zombie blood.
Yeah. Amazingly, zombie blood just turns from red to black immediately.
Well, you know, they're not actually living, so.
No, that's true. But they turn in like 12 seconds.
Yes.
And it does have some really cool scenes in it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
If you talk like that epic zombie action, what I didn't like about it, I just didn't get into the characters. I mean, it had, you know, Brad Pitt was there and his wife, who's played by the girl from The Killing, the woman from The Killing.
Mm-hmm.
She has such a nothing part. Which it does kind of, they take the family and they're just like, oh yeah, they're there.
Right. And they do try to move it along. But I guess for me, I could understand, you know, that he just really wants to get back to his family.
Absolutely.
And the whole thing of, you know, really wanting to be there to protect his family.
Mm.
I understand that.
Sure.
And I think Brad Pitt pulls it off well. I mean, he's one of those actors that can do zombie fighting action and he can do family drama at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he was the best man for the job for this one.
The other thing I didn't like about it was just so many people do stupid things. There's one. Yes. There's one thing in there.
Yes.
Where when it happened, I'll just say it happens one of the earlier scenes on a plane. We'll just mention that.
Okay.
The plane's on the ground. And this thing happens, and I pretty much threw up my arms, and I'm like, really? And I understand it's not completely unrealistic, but I was just like, oh, I'm rooting for the zombies now.
There are a few moments. And there are some times when the zombies are a little more ridiculous than they are terrifying.
There were a lot of people laughing.
There were, yes. And that was unfortunate.
It's a fine line. It's really hard to go from terrifying, thrilling, and disturbing to just becoming goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is that Mark Forster, who directed it, mm-hmm. he's not a horror director, so I don't think he quite understands the genre as well, which is why what he thought was really terrifying came off as a little silly at times.
Yeah.
Because he does dip his toe in various waters.
Yeah, and I think if he just hung back, like a lot of the scenes where it's just a lot of zombies and just all kinds of stuff running at you, when he goes and finds just one zombie and focuses on that, and then you're like, oh, no, this is not right. Yeah, don't even. That was terrible.
We won't continue with that.
No.
Anyways, I give it a sucks. What did you say?
I say it kind of rocks.
All right. Split decision on that one. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. What do we got coming up?
And next we have Monsters University. In the prequel to 2001's Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully begin college as bitter rivals. But with their future as scarers in danger, they'll have to learn to work together.
Aww.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
I'm gonna be a scarer!
Wazowski, room 319. You know, your roommate is a scaring major, too.
James P. Sullivan.
Mike Wazowski. Well, now that we've been introduced...
You don't think I'm scary.
You're not even in the same league with me.
I'm gonna scare circles around you this year.
Oh, scary.
Oh, Pixar.
Pixar.
Yes. You know, Pixar's been making a lot of sequels and prequels lately.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to make more. And they've taken a lot for it because, and I do it too. You know, they announced Finding Dory and it's like, come on, Pixar.
Well, that's the Disney influence. Disney's very much into sequels and yes. spinoffs and stuff like that.
And that's unfortunate. But still, this one's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, it's Pixar, everybody talks about how sophisticated they are and how smart they are. And it still is sophisticated. This isn't, you know, one of the more dramatic animated movies that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more adult ones. It's silly and it's fun. And I'm totally cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this movie, it's pretty much Revenge of the Nerds with monsters.
Yeah. And not R-rated. I found myself describing it that way.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, it's G-rated.
Right.
There's no, like, panty raids in this movie.
No. And it's perfectly family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, grown-ups can take a look at this movie and go, you know, I totally know this story, and it's funny because it's with monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And kids, they just like, you know, there's wacky things happening in college.
I think what was neat about it is, it's a completely unnecessary sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Or prequel, rather.
Right, yeah.
But it's very charming. It's got a lot of heart. It helps having all the characters back,
mm-hmm.
or all the voices back. You know,
right.
Billy Crystal. And
yep.
You don't have somebody doing Billy Crystal's voice.
Oh,
you actually
no.
have him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We got to get going to a break. I will say my favorite character's art. I thought it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Kids are going to love it. I think families will like it. I give it a rock.
I say it rocks.
All right. When we get back, we're going to be talking about Much Ado About Nothing and the Bling Bling Ring Ring.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Blingy ringy bling bling ring ring.
Nice.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes. We were actually talking about Monsters University and we figured we'd get a little bit more time for Pixar before we move on.
We talked more about World War Z than, yes. than I expected.
It's true. So, any other thoughts on Pixar's?
Part of what makes it difficult to just really get behind it initially is because it is that... It is very forced in a certain way, and
mm-hmm.
and I'd say first half gets it. You can feel them sort of kind of trying to cram the square peg into the round hole a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but once it gets going, once they finally get past that setup, that necessary setup of Mike and Sully are are sort of rivals. Mm-hmm. And once you kind of get to the story, it really does work.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is they have sequences that are, in essence, action sequences, as you can do Monsters uh-huh. University movie, that are completely relevant and a lot of fun and adorable
mm-hmm.
and actually work towards the plot. And yeah. I think that's what makes it work, is that it's not unnecessary extras.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing, you know, toward the end, it comes to a pretty decent end and then mm-hmm. it keeps going. And I thought, oh, come on. But the part that went on was probably one of my favorite parts of the movie.
It really warms up at the end.
Yeah.
It does.
So, and you know, it's still silly, and mm-hmm. people complain when Pixar gets a little silly, but I'm totally okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the fun Pixar movies, and this, you know, it's still clever, it's still smart, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids can like it, adults can like it, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. There are parts in this movie that I honestly thought that it was live.
What did you think of the short that there was before it, the Blue Umbrella?
Again, it started and I totally thought it was live.
Yeah. There's like, it's there's people walking in like water in the streets and stuff.
Yeah, in a city, and it totally looks real.
Mm.
I was dumbfounded.
I could have believed they shot plates and then animated things on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I've been hearing that one's been getting some criticism that it's not as, and I don't know where that's coming from. I thought it was as charming as Paperman last year.
Yeah.
Which wasn't
I still
Pixar.
Like Paperman better, but yeah. But this one still, it was interesting.
It's a sweet little, it's also classic animation in the sense that it's this sort of out-of-the-box, non-narrative story.
Mm-hmm.
So that contributes to its, you know, almost two-hour running time.
Right.
So it's a good little
movie. It's worth it.
Worth checking out. Take the kids.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Next, we have Much Ado About Nothing. Joss Whedon tells the tangled stories of two would-be couples in this low-budget adaptation of the classic Shakespearean rom-com.
Who does he now?
He does.
Well, niece, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband.
Not till God make men of some other metal than earth.
It is certain I am loved of all ladies, for truly, I love none.
Dear happiness to women.
Oh, God, sir. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
There's a kind of merry war betwixt Signor Benedict and her.
I want you to get together.
Now, this is my confession that I have to make.
Okay.
I was an English major in college.
Nerd!
And I never liked Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
But Much Ado About Nothing is my favorite Shakespearean play ever. I adore this play.
All right.
So I was very excited to see this. When I heard that it was in the works and had been made, because nobody found out until after it was done, was so excited, and it did not disappoint.
Are you a big Joss Whedon fan?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan. I mean, I appreciate his work, but I didn't watch Buffy and Firefly and all that stuff. You know, he's got a diehard clan of followers, and I'm not in that.
And a diehard clan of actors, which he uses for this movie.
Which is good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not in that group of diehard fans, you don't really know these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know Nathan Fillion, you know Clark Gregg. You know these people because you saw The Avengers, so you know Clark Gregg. So you don't really know the cast, and I think that's a good thing. It's a simple and really stripped-down version of the play, and I think that lets the Shakespearean parts come through, and it shows just the wit of the original play. And I think the actors do such a good job of bringing out the language in a way that makes it make sense.
It's a lot more contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel stuffy.
No.
I'll say that.
No.
Part of it is I more respect what he did than really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the fact that he went and, you know, although it was sort of this secret project before the Avengers blew up, I think it's really interesting to go from something like the Avengers, this massive, huge tentpole, and then do this.
To filming something for 12 days in your home.
Yeah, which is, it feels like a Dog Me 95 movie, which is so, I mean, it's in black and white, but it does feel like that, just that super low budget, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
One of my biggest problems, and it's more me than I feel like, it's not like I'm breaking up with the film. It's not you, it's me. It's, but it's so hard for me to divorce myself from the Kenneth Branagh version that he did. And I know if you love a certain performance you've seen on stage, it might be difficult to divorce that.
Yeah, and I love the Branagh version too. This is completely different. And and I appreciate that because the Branagh version, it was big and it was massive and it had this huge cast. And sometimes I think that kind of takes away from the story, I guess.
Okay.
So I appreciate that the story could come through in this one.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I'm not a huge fan of all the actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them
are great.
No, they're not Shakespearean actors. They don't come from the stage.
No.
So you've got that going against them. But, I mean, overall, I thought it was a successful film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Shakespeare fans can appreciate it and Whedon fans are going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to make tons and tons of money because it's a very, very tiny movie.
Yeah.
So, final grade?
I'm going to say it rocks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks. So let's move on. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's talk really quick about The Bling Ring, in which Sofia Coppola directs this true story about wayward L.A. teens who start robbing celebrities' homes.
Paris Hilton's hosting a party in Vegas tonight.
Where does she live? Do you think we could find a way in?
I don't know.
Come on, let's go to Paris's. I want to rob.
Oh, my God. Are they gone?
Police are investigating the connection of the Hollywood Hills burglaries.
America has this sick fascination with a Bonnie and Clyde kind of thing.
Can't take her dog.
But he likes me. Did you speak to any of the victims?
I've spoken to all the victims.
Really? What did Lindsay say?
I have a confession to make. First of all, I loathed Sofia Coppola's last two films, which were Somewhere and Marie Antoinette.
Oh.
And one of the things I hated so much about Marie Antoinette, aside from just its existence, was the fact that you never got... I was like, at least we'll get to see her get beheaded at the end. And you never do. It just kind of cuts to being taken away and then...
Wasn't there another one since then?
It was Somewhere. The one with Brad
Dourif. I know, but I thought there was another one in there yet, too.
I'm pretty sure there's another one. There might have been another one. Could have been.
Anyway.
I was so bored.
Marie Antoinette was terrible. Yeah. You slept through it.
I did.
I remember. I remember the screening still because there was snoring.
That happens. But the thing is, her delivery, she's very dry as a director, and even gotten more so over the years, which Marie Antoinette and Somewhere really show that. But sort of her dry delivery with the absurdity of what these people are doing, which is, I mean, I'm assuming it's relatively close because she's not an embellisher.
Right.
It comes off as intentionally hilarious. I found myself laughing at this because you see the stupidity of these people. And not just the people who are doing the crimes, but the people who the crimes are being perpetrated on.
Well, yeah.
And it's just amazing that this movie was made because, like, they go into Paris Hilton's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the most decadent, most egocentric, lavish, just pedestal to herself. And I'm like, and she has a cameo in the movie. And I'm like, she agreed to this?
I heard one of the people who was in the movie talking about how the most fabulous part of the entire movie was Paris Hilton's closet. She was so amazed to go into Paris Hilton's closet.
Yeah. But it's an indictment of bad parenting in LA and just insanity. And it's an indictment of just the celebrity worship. And it plays so hilarious at times because it's so ludicrous, yet you know this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Is it intentionally hilarious?
I think it is.
Okay, good.
Because there's one scene where, because I was like, is this playing unintentionally? And then they do this one scene, and I'm like, no, this is purposeful. This is supposed to be completely awful.
Who knew? Sofia Coppola has a sense of humor.
And the more and more I think about it, the more I enjoyed it.
Good.
So, I give it a kind of rocks. When we get back, we got to go to a break. We're going to do box office in the next segment, and then we're going to do a voicemail and some DVDs.
Shake that.
Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
And welcome back for the final segment of Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Woo!
We ran out of time to talk about box office.
I know.
Talk about it really quickly. What do you think is going to win the box office?
Monsters.
Okay, what's your number?
I'm going to give it 70.
All right, I'm giving it 75.
All right.
Boom! I am going to win. I think I have a better chance at doing a dance next week. Just to warn you.
Okay.
Bring a towel.
And blinders.
Real quick, how do you think World War Z is going to perform?
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll do okay. But I think that's one that I don't know. Some people are really excited to see it, and others are just, meh.
I mean, 45, 50 million?
Yeah, I'd say around 50 would probably be.
If it cracks much more than 50, I'd be surprised. But you never know with star power.
Yep, it's Brad Pitt.
But, I mean, this was
I mean,
a movie
how much
that,
did Moneyball make? And that was a movie about baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it had Jonah Hill in it.
Oh, well, never mind.
The still fat Jonah Hill, who's fat again. All right, let's move on to, we got a voicemail.
We have a voicemail.
From our good friend Thomas from Seattle.
Hello, Thomas.
Let's play that really quick.
Hey, kind of a question about Superman Returns. Do you think it's unfair that Brandon Routh got blamed for the supposed debacle that was Superman Returns? And second, why didn't he have other roles lined up to go? And it just seems like he was sitting around waiting after Superman Returns. And it bombed, supposedly. I thought it was a pretty good movie, but nothing ever came from the rest of his career. Thomas from Seattle, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. First of all, Thomas, I don't think that you can necessarily... I don't think anyone's blaming Brandon Routh for Superman Returns.
Hmm.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's people who didn't like him in it, but I think...
He was a little bland.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But I think that more people tend to blame Bryan Singer.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
And again, I have to agree with Thomas. I didn't mind it.
Really?
So I didn't. I kind of liked it. So.
I didn't mind it when I saw it, but I watched it again recently.
Oh, yeah?
And it's
because I haven't seen it again since then.
I don't suggest you should.
I do have it on Blu-ray somewhere in a pile.
You should. It's one, though. I don't know if it's going to hold up.
Yeah.
Because it's silly. But I don't know why Brandon Routh didn't have other stuff lined up.
It is very strange. I mean, he just disappeared after that. And he's done, like, little tiny movies and little cameos and things. He hasn't done much.
No. He did Dylan Dog.
Right.
Dead of Night.
Again, little tiny things.
And he had a bit part on Chuck. I mean, yeah, but it's these little piddly roles.
And he was in Scott Pilgrim.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, that's a great example of, like, where his career went. When he did Scott Pilgrim, I don't think he would have gotten Scott Pilgrim had he not been Superman.
Right.
I think that was just a slight geek reference.
Yep.
And same thing with Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have gotten that. It's made as a joke about Superman Returns. So
at least he has a sense of humor. That's good.
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
But you're right. All the stuff, anything that he's kind of done outside of that seems to have post-dated from Superman several years, because Dylan Dog, even as ridiculous as that was just like 2 years ago.
Right, yeah.
So it came out 4 years after Superman, and, you know, he was on Chuck, but again, that was like 4 years after Superman. I don't know. That is the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to get the role and then take a bunch of... But a lot of actors, they don't know how to handle that, you know?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe his agent just didn't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, somebody has a really good agent, like Jennifer Lawrence has a great agent.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper is a great agent.
Yes.
Because when they got these lead roles, they just lined up a bunch of stuff and they knew how to pitch their people. So after Jennifer Lawrence, she got nominated for an Oscar and then like 2 years later wins the Oscar.
Yes.
So this is...
And she has been in everything since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think she got into development really quickly because she came out of nowhere in Winter's Bone.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper had been around for a while, but once he started getting movies like The A-Team and Limitless, and then when Limitless took off, he's like, I'm taking everything.
Yep.
And then there's some people who get some sort of level of fame. I remember Gillian Anderson was like this.
Hmm.
She became big on The X-Files. Uh-huh. She just couldn't pick projects.
Yep.
She was offered projects, and the ones she picked were just ridiculously stupid. She just wasn't good at picking projects.
Yes.
I think that's why.
So there you go. Brandon Routh. He's a mystery.
Yeah. Give us a call, Brandon. We'll get you
We'll let you
up.
On the show.
That's right. We'll get you. We'll figure something out for you. Also, I think the other problem he had is that he was emulating Christopher Reeve too much.
Oh, yeah.
And
he was Christopher Reeve. It was creepy.
Yeah. And his voice delivery, it's almost when Ewan McGregor did Obi-Wan Kenobi in The Phantom Menace, he was really doing the intonations of Alec Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, held him back. Anyways, we're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's do the next segment, which we like to refer to as...
The DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
There's a lot of movies this week.
A lot.
A lot of DVDs and Blu-rays. I'm just starting the list in no particular order. There's 21 and Over.
Which we both enjoyed.
We did, which
is
amazing.
We were both shocked to enjoy this movie. I really kind of liked it.
It's just like Monsters University, only it's R-rated and has a lot of drinking and drugs in it.
I know. And, you know, I got the Blu-ray and I was really excited. I was like, yay, I get to watch it again.
Jeff Chang.
Oh, love Jeff Chang.
Jeff Chang's amazing.
So funny.
It's fun to watch. It didn't do well, and that's kind of a shame.
No, because it's funny, and it has a little bit of heart, too, which a lot of these college drinking movies do not have.
And the ones that really make it click are the ones that have heart, except for this one.
Yeah, there
this
you go.
One didn't click. There's also movie 43, which I don't think you got.
No.
No, not that you
No, that
it.
Was that was intentional, yeah.
It's so funny. This is now known as one of the worst movies ever made. It's on those lists.
There you go, yeah.
It's not so bad. You have to have a juvenile sense of humor. You have to
right.
be, you have to be a 12-year-old
boy. Except it's inside. Extremely R-rated, so.
It's very R-rated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here's the thing. With the exception of like one or two sketches, it's all – it's R-rated for poo-poo, caca, wee-wee, yeah. You know, you know, jumbly bit jokes. I mean, it's nothing really – I mean, it's not like overtly violent. It's not like overtly drug usery. It's nothing
– It's just really – ridiculously immature.
For the most part, you could show it to a 10-year-old kid and it's not going to damage them at all because they'd be like, oh, poop! Ha!
It's really unfortunate that you didn't give that quote earlier so they could have put it on the box.
You could show it to a kid.
You will not be overly damaged.
It will not permanently scar your children. That should have been on the cover box. All right, there's also Stoker, which will permanently scar your children if you show it to them.
It might, yeah.
This one's not bad. It's Chan Wook Park.
Yes.
Park Chan Wook.
It's an eerie movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really go anywhere.
It's better for the atmosphere.
Yeah. It is all about the atmosphere. And after that, there's not much to it.
Yeah. It works for what it is. It feels much more appropriate to be like something you'd watch in Halloween just for sort of that feel, that eerie feel. I thought it was okay. The Last Exorcism 2. The final of the next chapter, the part two or something like that. Because if you thought the first one was the last one, it wasn't.
The next exorcism before the next one.
Yeah. Is not good. Just to warn you. I went ahead and watched it and it's not good.
Whatever the semantics of this may be,
yeah,
it is not a good movie.
It's not a good movie. Don't go see it. It's, it's not the worst one on the list this week, but it's not much of a story. I mean, is it Ashley Bell? I think who plays... The girl in it, she's good, and she's just not given much to do, and it drags out, and it has the most ridiculous ending. And I don't think there's going to be a third one.
Thank Let's God. Hope not, because I would not know what to call it.
Seriously, this time, it's the Last Exorcism. There's also Quartet.
Which is a charming little movie about old people in a nursing home for retired musicians.
Yeah, I like to refer to it as the best exotic marigold quartet.
Nice. That's pretty much how it is, yeah. It's a cute movie.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think they tried to give it a little too much heart in the end.
Yeah.
They could have just focused on being funny, but it works.
Well, the thing is for me, it's kind of like an old person anyways, because it kind of meanders around, stumbles around, it loses focus at times, but it's just so charming and adorable. And
you just want to hug it.
Yeah. And that's the way I kind of felt like with Marigold Hotel was the same thing. It lives and dies on its actors.
Yep.
And they're such charming actors.
There's a great cast.
Billy Connolly's amazing in this movie. And sometimes he irritates me. But, yeah, it's worth checking out.
Yep.
I just kind of fell in love with the people in it. I could care less what was going on. There's Life Force on Blu-ray. Matilda May, naked through most of the movie.
There you have it.
Bingo. Thumbs up. And then Safety Last Criterion Blu-ray. That's a Harold Lloyd. Are you familiar with Harold Lloyd?
Not really, no.
He's an old silent film guy. He's like sort of in the level of the silent era of Laurel and Hardy. It's a very famous slapstick stuff. That's worth checking out on Criterion. Then some TV. You've got Workaholics Season 2 from Comedy Central. And Wilfred Season 2. You don't watch Wilfred.
I don't, know. I've heard wonderful things about it, though.
I think you'd get into it. It's darker and it's twisted.
I like dark and twisted.
But I give it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot. And the stinker. What's the stinker?
I'm giving mine to Jack the Giant Slayer.
Okay.
A kind of lame fairy tale with creepy looking giants who are really stupid.
I'm giving it the Body of Proof, season 3, because that's equally stupid. Review wrap up real quick. World War Z, you said rocks. You said kind of rocks. I said sucks. Monsters University, we agree, rocks. What you doing? Nothing you said.
Rocks.
Rocks, I said. Kind of rocks. And then the Bling Ring, I said rocks. We will talk to you next week when we talk White House Down in the Heat.
See ya.